Just take a seat. Welcome the people around you. Tell them they're looking full of faith. Sounds like you've had a good few weeks here, those that have been here. Has it been good last few weeks?
Yes.
There was a young preacher, I was told, has been preaching here for the last 3 weeks. I listened to Jay and I listened to, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, The Fruitful Vineyard. How many of you are here for that one? Great. And we listened to it yesterday, and it was great because you couldn't hear everybody, you know, oh man, and clapping and shouting and cheering. And it's like, wow, there's people alive in the church. It's brilliant. Now, just turn to Matthew 13. We're going to have a very, very exciting autumn, this autumn. We've got a week of fasting this week. We're going to have a media fast, those of you that don't know, and starting from today. And so we're going to have a media fast, so there's no DVDs, no TV, no web surfing, no computer games and... Why do we fast? We fast from doing something so that we can focus our attention on something else. We give up doing something for a period of time so that we can focus our time and energy and life in a different way. And this week, as we fast media through this week, it's going to give us individually, it's going to give us in our marriages or in our families or whatever context you're in, it's going to give us time to pray, time to be together, time to invest in other people, time to invest in what God is saying and in God's purposes for this autumn and into next year. Because we want to start this next year cycle, if you like, by having a week of fasting, by giving up what probably takes up most of people's spare time. We all have to work and we all have to be disciplined at work and... But when we have our free time, it's amazing how much of that is used up with media. And that's probably the most time-consuming thing that we get involved in. So we're going to give up media for a week and focus on what God wants to do this autumn, what He wants to do coming into next year. And the word that Jay and I listened to that Pastor Colin brought a couple of weeks ago from Isaiah 57 and 58, 59 and through some other chapters about being a fruitful vineyard. It was a cracking word. Now, if you haven't heard it, just go on the website and have a listen to it or download it onto your iPod or whatever. But it was like a prophetic word for us as a church. What? What? Yeah, we'll do it next week. If I wait to say that next week, then... So you can have great anticipation. What did he say then? I'll give you a nutshell in two sentences, okay? Partly what he was saying was, God sees us as a fruitful vineyard. And he was talking about singing, that we sing over the fruitful vineyard that God has made us. God wants every church to be a fruitful vineyard. A place where his life is flourishing and life goes out from that vineyard that others can eat of the fruit or drink of the fruit and receive the life of what is going on in that vineyard. And so we want to sing over that, but we want to speak over that which God speaks over. You see, God will always speak and act to produce a harvest in our life. So every time God speaks about you or speaks to you, it's to produce a harvest of righteousness in your life. It's to produce the harvest of what he wants to do in you and through you. God will never speak about you behind your back. God will never tell a lie about you. He'll never stab you in the back. He'll never pull you down. God always speaks to produce a harvest in your life. God will always act towards you to produce a harvest in your life. And what we want to do is we want to speak the same things to produce the harvest that God is speaking over our lives that He wants to produce. So in order to see that harvest, we want to agree with God. We want to speak the same things of God, declare the same things of God, and we want to act in accordance in the way that God is acting over our lives to bring that same harvest about. Are you here this morning? I had a good holiday, but it's great to be back. We had 5 days of sunshine, and the rest is boot polish, and a bit of cloud, bit of rain, and a bit of, you know, here and there. But we had a great holiday, but it's great to be back. You and me, this autumn, we will determine how fruitful we're going to be. God has already decided how fruitful He wants us to be. And now He says, now you guys are going to determine how fruitful you're going to be in accordance with what I'm saying about you. Just turn to Matthew 13. We're going to look at the parable of the sower just briefly this morning. But we need to understand the power of the words that we speak. Just before we get into that, in John 6:63, Jesus says, the Spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Everything God speaks to you and me is by the Spirit, and it is always to produce life. God will never speak anything that does not produce life. And God wants us to be people like that, that everything we speak is to produce life. You see, we have the author of life inside us. We have the Spirit of life inside of us. And so every time we speak, we want to speak life. One of the things that was said at Faith Camp was that words are like sound waves and they go on forever. And once you've spoken something, that sound or what you've spoken goes on forever and ever. They've been picking up radio programs that were sent out in the 50s, and they've been picking up those radio programs because they bounced off something or other and come back. And they've listened to the radio programs that were broadcast over 50 years ago. Because once a sound or a word is spoken, it goes on forever. So when God speaks, that's why His word is eternal and His word goes on forever. That's why Jesus is alive today, because He is the word. So He is alive. Everything He speaks goes on forever. And because His word is spirit and life, every time He speaks, it produces life. Now we want to do something in relation to this parable. So I'm just going to read a few bits and then we're going to kind of do something a bit visual. Verse 3 onwards. Then He told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Just turn to somebody next to you and say 30. 60. 100. Now, what do you want to produce? 30, 60, or 100? Just turn to the person next to you and tell them what kind of fruit you want to produce. 30, 60, or 100? Verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Just tell the person next to you, I am not going to be a pathway Christian. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who has received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Just turn to the person and say, "That one's me." Now sound like you're convinced. Okay, I need three volunteers. Three volunteers? P. Waterman, are you standing up to be a volunteer? Come on down. Okay, yep, first three. If you want to come up on the stage. If you can just stand one over there, one in the middle, and one over there. Great. Now, we have three things that are going on when God speaks and when we speak in relation to what he speaks to us, okay, and in relation to this parable. Okay, we have seed, which is what God speaks, what he declares, what he commands, what he decrees. And then we have what we then command, decree, and speak in relation to that. So we have seed. Then we have time. Okay, this is where our faith kicks into gear. And then we have harvest. It's all right being harvest, isn't it?
Yes, great.
Okay, so we have seed, we have time, and we have harvest. God has called us to be a people of
harvest.
God wants us to harvest today. He wants us to harvest tomorrow. He wants us to harvest the next day, the next week, the next month. He wants us to be people who harvest week in, week out, year in, year out.
That's right.
But the harvest is determined by the seed. And the seed is determined, the seed or the word that we speak and the actions that we take are determined by what God speaks and what he says to us. All the promises are yes and amen.
Amen.
But there are specific things that God speaks to us at specific times to declare, to decree, to command, to release.
Yes.
And we have to take those things that God said, agree with him, and we begin to speak those things. And then we go into a time of thanksgiving, which is our faith, so that we then see the harvest. Sometimes we want a harvest, but we don't sow the right seed. Now, God is speaking over us as a fruitful vineyard that we see fulfilled in a greater way during this autumn and into the new year, the promises of God for us as a church. To see a greater release of salvation, souls being saved, a greater dimension of God at work in people's lives, transforming them from one lifestyle into a completely new life, a kingdom person. A greater dimension of miracles and healings, the supernatural at work in our lives, but those that are around us. Seeing a greater release of God's life and power in the workplace, in our homes, in our schools, in the everyday settings of life. But sometimes we look at the kind of harvest we want, but we don't speak into it the seed and the life that produces the harvest. And so God has been speaking to us at Faith Camp about the overcoming kingdom, about rising up with our faith, that we determine things, that we don't just hope for something, we don't just long for something, but we begin to speak into it, act into it with thanksgiving, which is the time, so that we then see the harvest. Now, when Jesus talked about harvest, and you can pretty much every time in the New Testament, Jesus spoke about harvest, it was actually to do with souls being saved.
Yes.
When Paul the Apostle spoke about harvest, most of the time, he was talking about a harvest of righteousness in our lives. And when you look at the context of these different scriptures, when Paul speaks about harvest and to do with righteousness, it was to do about us living right with God, then produces a harvest of righteousness in other people, because there's a harvest of righteousness happening in our own lives. What is a harvest of righteousness in other people's lives? It's the harvest of God touching their lives and their souls being changed. A harvest of righteousness in other people's lives. So if we're going to see a harvest in whatever way, then we've got to speak the right thing. What is God speaking over your life at this time? What is God declaring over the vineyard of your life at this time? What is God speaking? Because when you know what God is speaking, then you know what you're speaking with thanksgiving to bring about that harvest this week, next week, the week after, the month after, this autumn, going into next year. God is speaking about barrenness being over. Stretch out your tent peg. Stretch your curtain wide. Enlarge the place of your tent. Make room for me to do more in your own life and amongst you, because give me space and I will fill it. You see, you want a harvest of health, then you speak that into your life. You speak that because that's what God is speaking over you. You need a harvest of salvation in your family. Therefore, you begin to speak and command and release that harvest of salvation through the words that you declare. And as you declare and speak those things, no matter what the circumstances are between there and there, your words and your mouth and your actions are full of thanksgiving in the time between the sowing and the harvest. You see, how do you get from the sowing to the harvest? It's a walk of thanksgiving. It's not a walk of emotion determined by circumstances that say, well, did I say it the right way? Because today I don't feel the same as I did yesterday when I declared it. Or the circumstances have changed and they seem to be going against me, so do I need to change what I've done? You see, there's a determination of faith that sets itself and says, this is what I'm declaring, this is what I'm decreeing, this is what I'm commanding to happen, to change, to take place in my life, in my workplace, in my school, in my town, over my nation, in this person's life or that situation. There's a determination, there's a cutting edge that says I'm not going to be held back in any way, but because I've declared something, I'm plowing here with thanksgiving, knowing that what I've said is going to bring a harvest of righteousness, whether it is in me or in somebody else. So where does the breakthrough come? The breakthrough comes from speaking and declaring. Then with thanksgiving, that causes the breakthrough and the release to then take place. Yes. Amen. 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 See, how do we move from people that are the pathway kind of people? See, pathway people are excited and speak things because it comes from emotion. And as soon as circumstance comes, they're like, ah, I'm doing the wrong thing. It's not working. The circumstances don't line up with what I've commanded. My feelings don't line up with what I have declared. So therefore, maybe I need to change my confession. Or I've heard the wrong thing, or I need to do a turnabout. And these other scenarios in here. Things of life. That's why we're having a media fast this week, because we're putting things aside that can distract us. The things of this world, if you like. And we're saying, God, this week we want to determine some things over our own personal situations, over our families, over our church, over our town, over our nation, over people's lives, whatever it might be. This week is a week of determining what is going to take place after. So this week, whether you're on your own or when on Wednesday night we come together as a church, 6:30 for every age group, we're going to be declaring things, determining some things over this autumn as a church on Wednesday night. One of the things we're going to do, we're going to pray for all of the children, all of the young people as well as some other things, because we're going to determine and decree some things over the children for this autumn. We're going to determine and decree and declare some things over the young people this autumn. We're going to determine things over relationships, over family life, over our town, over our nation. What did Jesus say? My words are spirit and they are life. The spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. You see, one command by the Spirit of God or with the Word of God can unlock the purposes of God. Jesus said when we pray, he said, you're not going to be heard for your many words. So it's not about just praying loads of words to try and get a harvest to happen. As we believe that as we stand and decree and speak in his name on his behalf, because that's what he's speaking over us individually or corporately, then that unlocks the purposes of God. Then we come with thanksgiving because we know we have received what we've asked of him or what we've commanded. So no matter what circumstances say, what emotions say, what feelings say, this walk of time of thanksgiving unlocks the harvest. So this morning, some of you need some healing unlocked in your body. Some of you need some finances unlocked. I think one of the biggest challenges for us financially, as individuals, is we live according to our salaries. Well, I can only give this because I only earn that much. And you find no matter what you earn, you always live to what you're earning, don't you? You know, sometimes you can think, well, if I just had another 10,000 on my salary, it'd be fantastic. I'd have more to give away. But if your salary went up 10 grand, within 6 months, you would find yourself living to the capacity of your salary. And then if somebody took away that 10,000, you think, man, I don't know how we could live without that 10,000. You see, faith goes beyond limitation. Faith goes beyond the boundaries. Faith goes beyond what is drawn in the sand and says, that's what you've got to fit inside. Faith always pushes the boundaries. Faith always steps over the boundaries because faith doesn't know limitations. Right. One of the things that the world needs to see in our lives is that we are blessed beyond what we earn. Amen. Amen. Somebody says, well, how much do you earn? And you say, well, I earn 25,000 a year or whatever it might be. And they say, but your lifestyle, the way you live, is beyond a 25,000 pound salary. And you go, yeah, exactly. You see, you can either live within something, and I'm not talking about spending money you haven't got. That's not what we're talking about this morning. Just go and spend this, that, and the other. I'm not saying, that's not what I'm saying. But sometimes we say, well, we can only move that far because that's all I have. Whether it's money, how you look at yourself. But what is... when God speaks, he will always speak beyond the circumstances. He will always speak beyond the natural. He will always speak beyond what you see as possible. He will always speak something that will always requires a step of faith. In whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it might be. You might feel insecure about something, and God will always speak so that you take a step that has to go beyond that insecurity. That's some of the way God breaks things in our lives. It's not that we need prayer. It's just that we need to step beyond some of the insecurities or fears or inhibitions that we have, because faith goes beyond that and says, well, God, I'm in your hands. And God goes, praise God, or praise myself. It's time that person did that. And this autumn's going to be an autumn of going beyond the possible, going beyond the limitations, going beyond the natural, going beyond what you say is possible, going beyond your financial view of how you see things. See, God might begin to put on your heart, you need to begin to give more. It might not just be in the church. It might be to be more generous. And you kind of says, well, God, how's that going to work? And God says, don't worry, I'll take care of that. But as long as you just do what I show you to do. I'm not saying just do whatever because, oh, well, I'll give that and God will bless me anyway. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from. So when God speaks, the faith comes to do that, that God speaks. But you see, we had, it was just before we went on holiday, just after faith camp. And we were having an 8:30. They weren't 8 o'clock, they were 8:30 during August in the office. And Pastor Colin was just sharing on one of the mornings. And he was talking about different aspects of faith for a few minutes. And I mean, this might be sound trivial to you, but I was just sitting there. And suddenly, for me, it was like I had a revelation in a fresh way of faith. And as he was just talking, he was talking about the foundations of faith and one or two other things. And I was just sitting there and suddenly it was like the Holy Spirit said, you've got the spirit of faith. Yes. And the spirit of faith knows no limitations, yes. No impossibilities. Right. And the reason why I've given it to you, because in the natural, you can't. You just cannot do anything that I've asked you to do. And the reason why I've given you the spirit of faith is so that you can be a person of faith. Amen. And because I've given you the spirit of faith, you can be a person of faith all of the time. Amen. So no matter what you feel, what the circumstances, how outrageous it seems to be, the things I've said, because you have the spirit of faith, just walk towards it. Amen. Just move towards it. No matter how you feel, what's going on, whether circumstances don't add up, or you think you're having a bad day, or you don't think you're spiritually where you should be, you've still got the spirit of faith. You're still a person of faith. So just keep walking and you'll be surprised at what takes place. And while that was going on, it was like God said to me, never say to yourself, I'm not worthy to see that happen. Never say yourself that you're not good enough for that to take place. Because everything's a work of grace anyway. For the Spirit of God to do anything through us is going to be God anyway. And it was just, I was sitting there, suddenly it was like, I'm a person of faith. All things are possible. I haven't got to worry about anything. If God tells me to do something, then it's going to happen because as He speaks, He gives me the faith. I'm a person of faith. It's going to be exciting. What's going to happen? See, why does God give us faith? Why does He speak to us? Because He knows we always, in the natural, look at the impossible first. We always give all the reasons why it can't happen. And God speaks to us to give us all the reasons why it can happen. Puts the faith inside us to... This is what a little phrase I wrote down, I think, as we were listening yesterday, that in one of the phrases, faith looks at what the present situation will become. And that's a cracking statement. Faith looks at what the present situation will become. So you're in a circumstance here. A relative needs saving. Somebody needs to get healed, or you need to be healed. Things don't, whatever's going on. You look at the circumstance or the situation. What does God do? God will speak that into this.
That's right. Come on.
See, whenever God speaks, He doesn't just speak into the circumstance. Okay? What He does is in your situation, He tells you what the harvest is.
That's right.
So God comes along and He says, in your situation where you're sick or where something needs to happen or you need a breakthrough, He comes in and He doesn't just say, look, speak this so that you feel better. He says, harvest.
That's right.
Harvest. Harvest. So what do? You then speak harvest. What do you then follow that with? Actions of harvest. What is that? Thanksgiving. So this autumn's going to be a different time.
Yes, sir.
Because every one of us in the body is this kind of person who is speaking over our own lives personally, speaking over our lives corporately, what God is speaking, what He's declaring, what He's commanding, what He's releasing from heaven that then we have to release on earth. God doesn't release on earth direct from heaven. He goes through you and me. So God can prophesy something, but then he wants us to then speak it, declare it, decree it, act upon it with thanksgiving to see the harvest.
Amen.
Whatever that harvest might be. This might be 2 seconds. Or it could be 20 minutes. Or it could be 2 weeks. It could be 2 months. It all depends what it's about, what God's saying and what He wants to do. But what God wants us to get out of, if we're in some way, is that, yeah, but when I speak, nothing ever happens. So what's the point? Because it always seems to take so long. What we need to do is repent of that kind of stuff. So right, I'm choosing now to put behind any experience, any unbelief, and I'm going to determine from today onwards, because God sees my life and us as a church as a fruitful vineyard, therefore everything He speaks into our lives is to produce life, a greater fruitfulness, therefore I'm going to speak that over my life that God speaks, even though sometimes I don't feel it, even though sometimes I don't feel I'm up to it. But I'm going to speak it anyway because that's what God is speaking over my life.
That's right.
Because God never, ever speaks negative. He'll never, ever say anything to you that pulls you down. He'll never talk about you behind your back. He'll never undermine you. God will always speak something to you that produces life.
That's right.
Wow. That's right. Life or death is in the tongue. And we want to be a people who just constantly speak in life everywhere we go. Over our own lives, over our families, over our work colleagues, over our schoolmates. Whatever we're going into, however difficult, whatever it is, I'm here to speak life and to bring life in the name of Jesus. Come on. It's not a time just to, well, let's pray and see what happens and see whether we get the answer. It's a time to declare and decree and to walk with thanksgiving. Father, I thank You right now for everything that we've spoken. It's happening.
Yes.
It's happening.
Yes.
It's happening. Boom.
Yes.
There it is. And we then see it. But the spirit world there to there is unseen. But as soon as we release it, the words go. And that's it for eternity. That command is going out. Wow. Whatever you command keeps going because it's got a destination. And that destination is harvest. Whether it's somebody being saved, somebody being healed, circumstance being, whatever it is. When you speak, that word has a target. It has a harvest at the end of it. It's not just, well, I'll speak it into the air and hopefully God will do something one day, maybe something will happen. When you speak life and it goes towards what you're speaking. God's sharpening us as a people. He is sharpening everything up, saying, now you make sure whatever you speak is what I want to speak, because whatever you speak is going to hit the target. It's going to unlock things, break through things, open things up. But make sure you follow it with thanksgiving. Are you ready? Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Jump up excitedly. Let's thank these guys for being our seed time and harvest. In Galatians 6, verse 7, it says, a man reaps what he sows. What you sow things verbally. And God wants us not to undermine what we sow by then saying other stuff between sowing and harvest. You don't sow a seed and go and dig it up to see how it's doing. I mean, we laugh because, you know, it's obvious, but so often we do that. We abort sometimes what we speak.
That's right.
Because circumstances come, feelings come, and we go, oh, you know, and we say something completely opposite. And it's like putting a knife in the seed or taking the seed out of the ground and looking at it. He says, a man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now that makes it sound like it's going to take a long time to get a harvest. Some harvest comes like that. Like for some of you this morning, you're going to have a harvest of healing right now. As you speak to your body, boom, it happens. Some of you are going to speak to your bodies, and when you wake up in the morning, you're going to be healed. There's like a 16-hour delay or whatever there might be in our thinking. Some of you are going to speak over family members that you've been praying for a while. It's time now to unlock that prayer with a command to release the salvation of God for their lives to turn around. Some of you had issues at work for a while. Two or three of you, believe, have had some issues at work that have been really bugging you recently. And you've been saying, God, I just, you know, get me another job. Get me out of here. And God said, no, you're there because I want you to bring change. And God's given you a different perspective this morning. You've been praying more from a sense of desperation rather than a sense of, okay, God, this is what you want to do. And I'm here. And this morning, I'm going to speak the harvest into this situation, what you want to do to change things around in whatever context it might be. Are you ready? How many of you need healing this morning? You need to speak to your body, whatever the circumstance, whatever the issue, whatever is being going on, you need to speak to your blood, you need to speak to your muscles, you need to speak to the tissue, you need to speak to your organs, you need to speak to your cells, you need to speak to your skin, you need to speak to the bones, you need to speak to the marrow, you need to speak to the cartilage, you need to speak to whatever is not lined up with the health of God in your body. Say, right, now I'm speaking what God is speaking over my body. God is speaking health over my body. God has released health 2,000 years ago into my body. So this morning I'm having it, and I'm not living with the inconvenience of sickness any longer. I'm not adjusting things in my life to take in sickness. Now sickness, you're leaving because I'm going to live my life in this way. One or two of you, you've changed certain things in your life because of the sickness. You've adjusted your lifestyle and even your way of thinking because of the sickness or the ailment that you've had in your body. It's like you've settled and said, well, you know, nothing's happening, so I'm just going to have to kind of move around it. And God's saying this morning, speak to that mountain. You do not adjust your life to accommodate sickness. But sickness moves to accommodate the health of God in your body. Some of you are like, I've got some unsaved relatives and I never seem to have the right thing to say. They always have the right argument, the right persuasion, the right this, that and the other. And I'm speaking to them sometimes and they come out with something and I'm like, I don't know, I just don't know how to answer that. And you always feel a bit stumped. What they need is a bit of revelation. What they need is to be capsized by the Holy Spirit. They need to be ambushed by the Holy Spirit, right? So we're going to pray for some ambushing to go on this morning. Is that all right? What do you reckon? Some of you financially need to see some breakthroughs financially. Now, there's wisdom in finances, in stewardship and all of that, okay? But also some of you need to see some breakthroughs in financial situations. So we're going to unlock some things this morning. We have some seed sowing, releasing stuff. And some of you are going to harvest today. Some of you are going to harvest tomorrow. Some in the next few weeks. Some in the next couple of months. But whatever you sow, sing over it and speak over it with thanksgiving. Because it's with thanksgiving that a harvest of righteousness is produced. Amen. Are you ready? We're all going to do this at the same time. Whatever your situation is, if you need healing in your body, you need to take hold of that sickness this morning. Command it to get out of your life. But you need to speak to your body to be healthy, to be whole, whatever it is. Command the health of God into whatever part of your body it is today. Whatever it is in terms of people being saved, whether it's a best friend, a good friend, or a family member, whoever it is. Rather than just saying, Father, I just want that person saved. Please, you come and move in their life and just give them a real revelation of you. Stand there and you need to command what God is commanding over their life. Just command that revelation. See, only the Holy Spirit can reveal Jesus, no matter how good you are as a witness. Some of you might think, well, it's easy seeing people saved. Some of you really struggle. It's not how good you are. It's how good the Holy Spirit is. And you just simply need to realize this morning, well, Holy Spirit, I choose to trust in you to see my family member saved, because I can't do it. I've shared with them, spoken to them, given my testimony, given the gospel, the whole lot. Holy Spirit, it's down to you now. So I just command in the name of Jesus that veil to come down from their eyes, that spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon them, that their eyes will be open to the truth, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father. I declare that over their life this morning. I unlock their soul for salvation today. It's like you rise up in a different way. You begin to decree the harvest, declare the harvest, command the unlocking of the harvest in their life. Stop asking, start commanding.
That's right. Come on.
Amen. Amen. And in whatever circumstances, you might need a breakthrough in your family. One of your kids is going haywire or whatever, or things are difficult or whatever's happening. You need to stop asking and start commanding. If you're already commanding, you stand there resolute and you keep commanding the circumstance to change, the situation, whatever it is God has given you. He might have given you scriptures. He might have given you a vision of what the harvest looks like. Well, you command and you speak that harvest, and make sure that between your speaking and what you see, your mouth is full of thanksgiving. You might think something negative, but don't speak it out. You might be struggling with feelings. Well, I've been speaking this, but I don't quite see it yet. Just keep going with thanksgiving. Amen. Are you ready? So whatever the circumstance is now, you're standing here. God is speaking life over your life, life into your situation, life into whatever you're representing this morning. And I want you to command the harvest to take place in that situation right now. Are you ready? Come on, let's rise up in faith now. You begin to speak into your situation that 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, because that's what God is speaking over your life this morning. That 30-fold fruit, that 60-fold fruit, that 100-fold fruit. There's an overtaking of God's purposes being released right now. Instead of just speaking and nothing happening today, there's an unlocking of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold fruitfulness in a fresh way. We come against every sickness in this place. We command every ailment, every disease, every sickness, everything that has been spoken over lives that says you will have this till your dying day. We break that right now in Jesus' name. We command every sickness to go from each person's body. I speak to body organs, to cells, to the blood, to bones, to skin, to people's bodies right now to be healed in Jesus' name. I just command the health of God to overtake in people's bodies. We just release the energy of God into people's bones, into their muscles right now. We cut off every diagnosis of sickness in Jesus' name. And we just declare a clean bill of health right now. Every cancer, die right now in Jesus' name. Every growth, shrivel up right now in Jesus' name. Every issue, be healed right now in Jesus' name. Every stiffness in the bones, arthritis, go right now in Jesus' name. Every bodily organ that is not functioning correctly, come into order right now in Jesus' name. Blood disease, get out of those bodies right now. I just speak health into the bloodstream, into the veins of these bodies right now. Bones, come into order in Jesus' name. Where there's lack of growth in bones, I speak life right now. Where there's been restrictions in growth in bones right now, that restriction leave in Jesus' name. I release growth into those bones to grow normally, to grow in the right way, without any limitations or restrictions in Jesus' name. Now just speak into the situations of your family members, your friends that are unsaved. We just tear down that veil of unbelief right now. We tear down that veil of blindness right now in Jesus' name. And we just command a spirit of wisdom and revelation to come upon every friend, every family member we've been praying for, witnessing to. We release the salvation of God right now over their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. We unlock their souls right now for salvation. And we speak the harvest of righteousness into their lives. The harvest of righteousness into their lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Just speak into your situations at work, whatever they might be. You see, faith only knows the answer, it is finished. Faith does not know the answer, oh, well, it's not happened yet, so we'll give up. Faith only knows hitting the target and right in the middle. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many know you're healed in your body? Something's happened in your body this morning. Just raise your hand if you know something's changed. There's a number of you. What have you just been healed of? Stomach pain and all that is gone, yeah? Charlie? Back trouble. Your back's relieved, is it? Release of pain? Praise God. Some other people, who else? You know something's just happened in your body. Some other guys over there. If you need to go to the doctors because it's an internal thing, then go and get yourself checked out. But speak what God speaks over your body with thanksgiving. When I was about 12, I'd had eczema since I was a baby, really badly. I used to have bandages and all sorts of stuff. I was about 12 one night, went up to bed and got into bed, and I just had this series of thoughts, which now, you know, I would say the Holy Spirit talking to me. I had a series of thoughts that went like this. If Jesus died 2,000 years ago and he took sickness on the cross, then he took what I used to call my eczema with him. So therefore, it's not my eczema, it's his. He's taken it with him. He's dealt with it. So therefore, I haven't got eczema, I'm healed. Now, one of my parents came up to pray with me and I said that to them. And I said, so that's it. I don't have to ask God to heal me, I'm healed. So from that day on, I just thank God, thank you, Jesus, I'm healed. The next day, I went in and told all my mates at school, I'm healed, I don't have eczema anymore. And they're like, yeah, right. Because my face was still dry and I had stuff all over my skin and all that sort of stuff. And it was, and God had said to my parents that when Clive's 14, all the symptoms will go. So for about 18 months or so, I just said, I never once asked God to heal me after that. Every day, I just thank God that I was healed, I didn't have eczema anymore. And when I was 14, within a couple of months, literally all the symptoms just went and my skin, you know, has been totally sorted. And sometimes we kind of think, well, hang on a minute. You know, I've spoken it didn't happen straight away, so it obviously hasn't worked. Now, 18 months, I wasn't trying to convince myself. That was it. I thought, well, I don't have to pray about this eczema anymore. And I didn't call it my eczema either. You know, or my hernia, or my this, or my the other. It's not yours. Because it doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. So don't speak about sickness like it's yours. You bought it. I like that. Yeah, I'll have that. Don't own it like it's yours. It doesn't belong there. So it's not yours. It belongs to Jesus. He's taken it. So I was like, thank you. I'm healed. That's it. I don't have eczema anymore. I mean, my mates thought, I was like, Clive, get with it. But that didn't, I didn't care. I knew in there, that's it, it's done, sorted. That's what faith does.
That's right.
See, faith doesn't go, and all this. Faith goes, that's it, it's done, sorted. Right. Thank you, Jesus. So for me, from that revelation and speaking something to the harvest of it was 18 months. But it was 18 months of, that's it, it's done, sorted. Yeah. And you live in a place of peace.
Yes. Yes.
Because faith brings peace. Yes. Circumstance brings turmoil, but faith brings peace. The circumstances can be rocking all around you and making you feel like you're rocking all over that, but because you know God has said something, you're going through all of that with a sense of, thank you, Jesus. This is great because that's what you said. That's it. No matter what the circumstances are doing and what other people are doing and what other people are saying about me, you underline, that's it. It's done. It's finished. It's complete. See, that's why it's so opposite to the world, isn't it? Faith is just so opposite to the world. Faith is having it before you see it. The world is, well, I'll believe it when I see it. So your unsaved family, just keep with thanksgiving. Whatever circumstances, keep with the thanksgiving. Breakthroughs in families, with your kids. Maybe some of the kids here today, you've prayed for your parents because you think, well, my mum needs a breakthrough or my dad needs a breakthrough, whatever. Praise God. It works both ways, doesn't it? Life or death is in the tongue. You're a person of faith, so make sure whatever you speak this week is full of life, full of faith. Don't undermine it on the way with something else. Keep with thanksgiving. Just as you spend time this week in whatever context you live in, spend time with God more than you normally would. Otherwise, it's a complete waste of time. It's not just not doing media this week and doing something else, going riding your bike instead or going for a drive in the car or something. It's using, you're not going to use all the time to pray, but use some of the time to pray, to speak, listen to what God's saying. God, what are you actually speaking over my life? Because that's what I want to speak. I tell you, when you've heard God say something about your life, you don't dare say anything else.
That's right.
Because you know you're contradicting what he said to you.
That's right.
But when you know God has spoken something, he gives you some scriptures and you're like, oh, what? Thank you, Jesus. And you're like, that's it. That's for me. Then you know, hang on, I can't say that because that actually is going to undermine what God is saying about me. But if you don't know what God's saying, it's easy to say one thing or the other. So get some stuff this week. God, what are you saying over my life? What are you singing over my life? What are you speaking over the vineyard of my life? Over my marriage, over my family, or whatever it might be. Okay, on Wednesday we're going to do some praying. Maybe in your family or your household you can have communion at least once this week, or even every day when you have dinner. Break bread, share together, pray together. It can be shorter, it can be longer, but speak life over your situations this week. Spend time with people this week. Make people a priority this week. Invite people around your homes. Invite yourself around other people's homes. Maybe invite people around to your house that maybe don't often say yes, or they're maybe a bit quieter or whatever. Or maybe invite yourself around their house and take some food with you and bless them. Just make people a priority this week, okay? Spend time with people, do stuff, okay? Now, there's two things we're going to do at the end. One is all these cards, and we've kept these at the end on purpose, because we're going to hold up whatever these situations are and we're going to command the harvest to take place in their lives, right? It's, you know, at the end of the worship, sometimes we can hold these up, and that's what we're doing now in the meeting. We're just praying over a few people's lives. But actually, what we're doing is we're unlocking the harvest of whatever God wants to do in them. And then we're going to have the offering and finish with a, if we can have the band up, if you can come up. And we're going to praise God as we give. But we're going to just declare some of the words that we give, because we want to speak over our lives to do with our finances. We don't want to be restricted by our salaries, by what God can do in and through our lives. I'm not talking about, oh, I'll just go and bang a load of stuff on my credit card. That's not what I'm talking about. See, sometimes it's not about what has God told you to give, it's what we've got left that God looks at as well. Sometimes God tells me to give more than I'm going to give in an offering or whatever. Sometimes double. Sometimes I'm going to give something, and this doesn't happen very often, but sometimes I thought, oh, I better give that, because that's kind of, you know, and the Holy Spirit said, no, I want you to give a couple of quid, that's it. I'm like, yeah, but I won't feel, if I only give a couple of quid, then I'm not really being gentle. God, Holy Spirit, just do what I'm telling you to do, will you? There's a whole obedience thing in there, isn't there? Let's stand, shall we? Everybody together. And we're just going to speak over these situations. I'm not going to read them out, but there's always salvation. There's always healing. There's always finance things in these situations. Often there's job-related things as well. So there's a couple of blank ones, so God can fill those things in. As we speak out and we're not aware of stuff, He can fill in the blanks, can't He? And move in situations that we don't know about, but we're just declaring God's life over situations. Are you ready? So we're standing as people who are going to, we're commanding and unlocking now the things of God, right? Ready? And then we're going to be full of thanksgiving as we praise God and give, so that we see the harvest of what we've just commanded take place in whosoever lives they are. Are you ready? Let's just raise our voices. Just command now salvation for the people who need it.
Yes.
We thank you, Jesus. Just command health and healing right now over people's lives. Just command that financial release over people's lives. Just command God's best over people's lives, God's purposes right now. Just command. Release the harvest of righteousness over people's lives today. We speak freedom and liberty over these lives. We rebuke every frustration, every limitation. We release your goodness, your purposes right now, your health, your life, your salvation, your abundance, your overflow. We just speak, Father, life over these lives in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you as we come to give right now. There's going to be an unlocking of faith in a fresh way. If we could have the words up that we're going to use this morning. Okay? And what we're going to do, I know we speak these sometimes and haven't done it as regularly recently, but we want to declare these things over our lives and for us as a church, okay? You know, sometimes you have to speak what you want to become.
That's right. Come on.
Sometimes you have to speak what you want to become. So often we live from our emotions, how we're feeling, don't we? Even though we're people of faith, sometimes we live from how we feel. And sometimes to become or to live in the good of, we need to speak what we don't feel and what we don't think we are at times. Because we need to remind ourselves who we are so that we live in who we are. Amen. So let's declare the truth and declare these words as we give our tithes and offerings this morning. You ready? The Word of God declares, as God's fellow workers, we work together to sow our lives, our money, and our time generously. Glad to work hard, we expect to reap a rich reward to see many lives changed. As we act on God's word to bring our tithes and give our offerings, He will prosper us and we will be a blessing to our families, communities, the nation, and the nations. Amen. 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 Are you ready? Has everybody got something to put in the offering?